Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was to betray him, said, Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So primarily the scriptures are meant to be meditated on. And once again today, we see how God doesn't want to give us straight answers on all the details. So John's gospel, just like the synoptic gospels, begin the passion narratives with the declaration that the Jewish leaders had decided to get Jesus arrested. So they're going to get him arrested. Matthew, Mark, and John all agree that there was a meal in Bethany where this event took place. Matthew and Luke merely say it's the house of Simon the leper that a woman anointed Jesus' head, and the people complained about the waste of money, and that Jesus defended her. Okay? Those details are a little different in John. And if we go to Luke's gospel, this story doesn't happen. But in Luke 7, there's a story that's remarkably similar. At the house of Simon the Pharisee. Now, Simon the Pharisee was there to investigate Jesus and didn't show him hospitality. And then a sinful woman came in off the street and wept at his feet. And Simon said, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't let her touch him. In the end, what Jesus says is, leave her alone. She anoints his feet, dries them with her hair, two elements which end up in John's gospel. And he takes Simon to the woodshed about how he had treated him. How you didn't show me any hospitality, and here's what she's doing. In addition, John has given us names of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, right? Martha and Mary and Lazarus are not in Matthew or Mark. But they are in Luke. In Luke's gospel, there's a famous story which none of you ever get right about Martha and Mary. And don't feel bad because I don't think anyone gets it right. Because I constantly see sermons on, are you a Martha or a Mary? How come there's no sermons? Are you a good thief or a bad thief? Have you ever been to a group where people are saying, I'm the bad thief? Why would we identify with Martha, especially women? And it's because women don't know as much as they think they do. So if you want to be smarter, ladies, listen to me. Martha is serving, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus. The same thing going on here. Martha's serving, Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Martha's upset that Jesus isn't helping her. Martha has just been raised up in her social status to the same level as men. She's being treated like a disciple at the feet of the Master. Anytime you have a chance to be a disciple of Jesus, take it. And never think going into the kitchen is a better deal. Mary has been elevated to full human status by Jesus, who turns things upside down. We're going to come back to that. Luke also has a story about a guy named Lazarus, but it's not their brother. There's no mention of a brother Lazarus in Luke. But there is mention of a story about a poor guy named Lazarus who dies. And the rich guy then has to deal with the being failing to take care of him, right? We know that story. Have you ever thought about how many parables have a named character in them? One, Lazarus. Lazarus is at the table in this one eating. So you see what I mean, how all these things come together. There's no answers here. There's just more questions. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary are at the table. And suddenly, Mary, by name, is the one who's pouring oil, not on his head, but on his feet. And Jesus is once again defending her. In Matthew and Mark, the crowd says it's a waste of money. In John, he names a character, Judas. Now, I don't know why this translation leaves it out, but this is another fascinating thing. So in Matthew and Mark, they're at the home of Simon the leper. In Luke, they're at Simon the Pharisee. Here, there's no one's house mentioned. But Judas is identified as the son of Simon. If that's the first you've heard of it, don't feel bad. I literally, this week, was going, I didn't know that. I never picked it up. Now, there's a couple other things, and I'm going to tell you what my meditation this week came to. Judas is identified as a thief, right? So this is chapter 12. Chapter 11, the whole chapter 11 just about is the story about Lazarus and he dies and, you know, Martha and all that stuff, right? The chapter before that, chapter 10, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The word thief occurs four times in this gospel. Once here, Judas is a thief. Three times in that chapter, where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Those who come from another way are thieves. Those who are not with me are thieves. Three times Jesus identifies thieves as being leaders who are not aligned with him. That is not an accident. Because the only other time that word occurs is talking about Judas. Going forward, the very next thing after this meal is the Last Supper. The word supper is a technical term. It doesn't occur much. It occurs here. It occurs there. And in that story, we're going to read that Jesus washes the feet of the disciples and dries the feet of the disciples. Literally, what John is using is Mary is a commercial about Jesus. Lastly, Jesus Christ means Jesus, God's anointed one, the anointed, Christos, chrism, oil. In the Gospels, we are told that Mary anoints Jesus. So, as I laid fighting for my life against COVID, laid in a closet fighting for my life against tornadoes, I was literally pondering all this stuff. And this is what I came to. The gospel message in John is the world wants to kill Jesus. And it wants to kill us. And if the world doesn't want to kill you, you better reevaluate how you're doing with Jesus. A few things that come out of this reading. Number one, beware of those who virtue signal about helping the poor. Beware of those who use the poor for their own gains, financially, political power, prestige, all those things. Beware of those who steal in the name of helping the poor. Number two, beware of church leaders. It pains me to say this. But always hold me to a higher standard. Because Judas was one of the 12. Judas was in the inner circle of Jesus, and he did not love Jesus, and he was not faithful to Jesus. So always hold me and other ministers to a higher standard. Number three, Mary is an absolute nobody. And based on Luke's gospel, perhaps a notorious sinner. I mean, I'm not saying this for sure, but it's what I kind of pondered on. Mary loved the Lord and served the Lord. And no one ever said anything nice about her in the gospels. They always kind of verbally attacked her. This humble woman who anoints Jesus is the one who God chose. Number four, we're most like Jesus, not when we're exercising power, but when we're serving. And anyone, man, woman, or child, can do what Jesus does in serving others. Turning the world upside down is what Jesus came to do. Turning our worlds upside down is what he came to do. And I'll repeat what I started with. The world is against Jesus. Those who embrace the way of Jesus will end up on a cross. As I had spent a week dealing with this and looking at the world, I took great solace in seeing that nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And I know how the story ends, so that's good news.